Welcome to Health Hats, learning on the journey towards best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in the awesome circus of healthcare. Let's make some sense of all of this. When I worked as a nurse and a paramedic in the emergency department, in the ICU, and in ambulances, we always started with the ABCs, airway, breathing, circulation. You can't live without them. If you're alive and the ABCs are in order, then for best health, think air, water, food, and exercise. They come next. AWFE doesn't quite roll off the tongue. If you're able, walking is the most accessible exercise. My goal is 3,500 steps a day. I average 5,000 a day. Next, I have my stretching, balancing, and strengthening routine. My biggest challenge is stretching, as I have tight, spasmodic muscles, and my stretching routine doesn't really cut it. My hips and thighs can get so tight, and I sit too much at the computer. Massage twice a month and chiropractic once a month helps some. My wife goes to yoga classes a couple times a week. I have no interest in a class. I couldn't keep up, and I don't have the energy for an hour. Yet, there's an appeal. It might help. So I reached out to my friend, Melissa Reynolds, at FibroMama in New Zealand. Last time we spoke, she was developing an accessible yoga program for people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. Let's listen. Melissa, it's lovely to see you, hear you again. What's it been? 6 months, I think, since we had that chat about pain management and doing the work. That's what I remember, doing the work. Yeah. You told me that you've developed a yoga program?
Yeah.
So tell me.
Well, I'm still super excited about it. So I've been doing yoga for a long time.
Okay.
And I was just getting so frustrated because I'd go into a class on YouTube and I'd have 20 minutes between the children, and I'd choose a class that was for beginners or for when you're in pain. And even as, you know, someone who's been practicing for years, they were out of reach for me. And so I was just having to make up my own classes all the time. And it was getting a bit disappointing, you know, like I didn't have the knowledge for that.
What kinds of things were besides time? Yeah. What kinds of things were challenging in the packaged YouTube stuff?
Well, I mean, first, the classes would be way too long. If I attempted to do them, I'd have post-exertion malaise forever.
Okay.
And they'd just rush through these poses that were just not accessible for my body.
Okay.
And some of them are okay at giving you variations. Other ones are just like, I'll just do child's pose again. And so it felt like it wasn't accessible, which is really disappointing because it is accessible. It's incredibly accessible if you commit to showing that.
Do you mostly do YouTube, or do you go to classes like community yoga classes?
No, not. I tried a few times and it never worked for me.
Okay.
A few years ago, I had a private instructor come to my home to create a sequence for me.
Oh, okay.
Because I just had a baby and was having some trouble with some things.
Yeah.
So I didn't expect her to help me with the fibromyalgia, but just for being safe. So that was really fun.
Okay.
But generally, you know, with a chronic illness and three children, time and energy is limited. So it's got to be immediately available. I've got to say, I've got 15 minutes, turn it on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it would sort of be nice if in this day and age, there could be a verbal cueing and interactive where you could slow it down, speed it up, choose your pose. But I guess we're not that advanced yet.
I guess what it always seems to take is one person who realizes something's necessary and then they work their butt off to make it happen.
Okay. And that's what you've done.
Yeah. I've worked really hard and now it's happening.
Okay. So wait a minute. I'm still back with you getting into it. How is it that you started and then realized this was good for you?
Wow, that's a question.
Yeah.
So everybody always knows that we're meant to be exercising, right?
Like
Everyone goes on about that. And so for a long time, I was forcing myself to do Pilates.
Okay.
And it became less and less accessible. And then when I was pregnant, I couldn't do it because the majority of the poses are on your back on the floor.
Right.
And it became just... yeah, inaccessible for me.
Okay.
So then I switched to yoga.
Okay.
And found that so much easier because the more I practice, the more I realize I could play with things because that's how I kind of do things. I'll learn and then I'll alter it for myself.
Okay. Okay.
So I just started doing it. And then I realized when I do this pose, like forward bend, it helped my neck. So then I just started doing forward bend all the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then when I was pregnant, I realized that cat and cow pose made a huge difference for my back. So I just did that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking those tools and saying, okay, I don't need a 60 or 90 minute class, which I can't do anyway. I'll just take this tool and use it. And I was experiencing like those individual benefits, but then I started to realize it had built up. So after several years, like my central nervous system, with the meditation, the yoga, the breathing, so much calmer.
Okay.
Like that anxiety response is very normal now. It takes a real stressor to get it going.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So now tell me more about the actual program. So it's something that's on YouTube or?
No.
Okay.
I knew that if I was going to be able to make a difference for someone and help them, it would have to be a very specific order and program.
Okay.
And they would need access to me. My keyword is accessibility.
Okay.
So accessibility needs to mean access when they have the energy.
Mm-hmm.
How they can, so whether that's their phone or their computer or their tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It also means affordability.
Right.
And so that intersection I found that seems to work quite well is having the pre-recorded program on a platform called Teachable, which has courses. And then the other half is a Facebook group, an exclusive group. And so that's where I come in. And they ask me questions and we chat through things. And once a week, I've been going live to answer questions and to talk about other things in a little bit more depth.
Okay. Well, that's a nice combination. Okay. So let me make sure I understand. There's a audiovisual component of the basics of the pose and then there's a Facebook group, then there's a live chat.
Yeah. I don't know if you know much about yoga, but when you create a class, all of the poses are chosen for a reason. So what I've done is in the first module, I've presented several poses individually and shown the life cycle of the pose so that people can experience the pose in their body, where their body is at. So they get into those poses. Then in the second and third week, that's when we put those poses into classes for specific purposes. So it naturally kind of is a progression so that it's not like trying to get in there and learn 1,000 things at once, because it's hard work learning new things, right?
Yes. So when you say the life cycle, it means that, like, I've taken like yoga for MS. Sometimes you start just standing or sitting in a chair, and then you progress to what seems to me like more complex. Is that what you're saying? The life cycle, it's like what you can do. And then as you get more limber and your balance improves, then.
Precisely.
Okay.
Yeah. So most poses have, I hate to use it, but like a beginner to advanced, you know? And
I'm glad you hate to use it.
I know. I use variation.
The life cycle is good.
Yeah, because you get benefit from the pose, however it looks for you. But I want to show the entire representation of it because you might be in one place today, but next week you might be in a different place. It's not linear. I go back and forth. If I try first thing in the morning, my poses do not look the same as if it's later in the day. I'm very stiff in the morning. So we go through it and we sort of say, here's how it can look, but let's give ourselves permission to play with it in our body. And here's the things to think of to keep it safe. But all of these poses have such variation, and it's not even necessarily about being advanced or anything. It's about using it for what you need. So like, for example, forward bend, you can do that sitting in your chair or standing in front of your chair and using the chair, or you can just fold down from standing, or you could use a wall to help you balance. You know, it's just learning to get into the pose and let it serve you, which seems like a very trite thing to say.
No, actually not at all. I think about the routines that I have and how I've progressed in my abilities. Some of the routine I have is to maintain so that I don't progress, or I progress more slowly. And then some of them are for my safety, and then some of them are for my strength. So most of my impact of MS is on my lower extremities. I like that my upper extremities are getting stronger. It's nice to have something getting stronger. And so is this program can be for people who of any age, of any abilities, whatever level of pain they happen to be in at the moment?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've made it to be as accessible as possible, bearing in mind that the most ideal way to make it personalized is to work with me directly. I can't give personal advice with the pre-recorded videos.
Right.
But the idea is you can use it wherever you're at, because with chronic pain and fatigue, there's such a variation. You know, some people are always at high levels of pain. Some people vary. There's various stages within fibromyalgia and chronic pain and chronic fatigue. And you have other things going on. Some people also have arthritis as well, and that's what their chronic pain comes from. Or there's just such a complexity there. You can't just say, this is how you do yoga for chronic pain. One of my key things is letting people see that they have a choice. So there's never a push. They don't need to be aiming for that. They need to listen to their body and do what their body is gelling with, you know, what feels nice. Because for too long, we've been told you have to push yourself. You've got to get to this point. This is your goal. And I'm sick of external goals.
Right.
I want to work on my own goals.
Yeah. I also think that in basic learning or in habits, where I've come more recently is, what can I do every day or every other day that's within my capabilities that isn't a stretch? I don't mean, you know what I mean, a stretch. Because I like that feeling like I'm getting used to doing it every day. I'm getting used to, and it's fun to do, and I'm not like feeling like disappointed in myself. Having little successes regularly works for me. Now a word about our sponsor, Abridge. I trust Abridge. I trust that they protect my personal data. Push the big pink button and record the conversation with your doctor. Read the transcript or listen to clips when you get home. Check out the app at abridge.com. ABRIDGE.com. Or download it on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Record your healthcare conversations. Let me know how it went. So I have a whole different question for you. Who refers to you? Is it by word of mouth, or are there professionals who would refer to you? Yeah. How do you get students?
Well, it's really tricky being an international audience.
Right.
So connecting with professionals is a bit difficult. But I mostly, it's word of mouth. So people who have been following my journey. So as I was doing my teacher training, all of my audience came along with me and I was sharing how it was going. And so I launched the course for the first time 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? And it's that new? Goodness.
Yeah. And my first students have come from people who have just been following my journey and word of mouth.
Yeah.
Because there's enough promises out there and a lot of marketing and advertising. And so I'd rather a friend say, hey, this thing has really helped me, give it a go.
Right.
And then try and target people with ads with promises of things.
It's a pace probably that's manageable. Interesting. I know you're going to send me all sorts of links and information for the show notes and everything, right? Actually, I'm intrigued. My wife does yoga and she goes a couple blocks from us is this community yoga. And I'm totally intimidated. And like, there's no way I would go. And about 10 years ago, when we first moved here, a friend of mine came to the house and coached me on some yoga. And then I never followed up with it. Not that I really feel like I need something else, because I feel like I have a good routine, but it felt really good. And I like the way you're talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense.
There's all sorts of things out there for all sorts of other illnesses. There's yoga for MS and there's all sorts of things out there like that. But chronic pain and chronic fatigue are not sexy.
Yeah.
Nobody has these things. So it's a little bit of a dream of mine to make it accessible and make it known and share the tools. But also to break it down, yoga doesn't mean doing weird poses and looking like perfection on Instagram. And for me, yoga is taking those tools and improving my life, because there are tools that have directly improved my life, not only because the tools actually feel good, but because I know the second I'm starting to feel bad, I've got things to do. I know I can do X, Y, and Z right now to feel a bit better. And I think we need that.
You do need that. I'm just running through my own list. Yeah. It's great having more things in your toolbox. This doesn't necessarily have to do with the yoga, but there was a question I've been meaning to ask you, and I never emailed or texted you to ask you. But here's the question. When we talked last time, one of the things that I thought was really intriguing was that you had been journaling for years about what works for you.
Yeah.
And you had just started when we talked, so this was in July, you had just started, you're saying, well, I feel better, things feel quieter in my system, and now I'm going back to some of the things that didn't work to see if they were working. And my question was, well, what have you discovered? What's that been like? I thought that was outstanding.
It's actually been really great. So I got off amitriptyline, which I had been on for many, many years. The withdrawals are very bad. And then I started 5-HTP.
I don't know what that is. I've heard the first, but not the second. So tell us a little bit about what are those.
Okay, so amitriptyline is a tricyclic antidepressant that, particularly here in New Zealand, when you get diagnosed, the doctor will throw you on it, and that's about all you'll get. And it's meant to help sedate you a little bit so that you can get to sleep. It doesn't have very good side effects. It can help some people, but the effects generally wear off. But weaning off it is not very fun.
Yeah, right. You're hooked on it. I mean, because you don't want to... Getting off is so miserable.
But I got off it.
Okay.
And because that is to do with serotonin, because it's an antidepressant that you take at a lower dosage, I couldn't try 5-HTP, which is a supplement that, now you're digging into my brain here a little bit, but basically it creates serotonin in your brain somehow.
Okay.
5-HTP. So it's a natural supplement.
Okay.
Which is meant to help you sleep.
Oh, okay.
And it has been helping me. So I'd much rather be taking that medicine that you have to wean off. So that's been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sleep is very fun.
Oh, no kidding.
And so I've actually got a really great sleep routine going. So it's the 5-HTP.
That's huge.
The magnesium malate, the low dose naltrexone, which we've probably talked about before. Then I do my gentle bedtime yoga routine. So the yoga routine I teach in the course is my actual routine I do myself. And then I do my body scan meditation, which again I teach in the course. And then I pretty much go to sleep really quickly. And I'm sleeping for a few hour blocks now. And I very rarely spend ages awake in the night anymore. Sometimes I have trouble going back to sleep, but mostly I do my body scan meditation and I've gone again. And that makes such a difference.
That's great. Good for you.
Yeah. So that's kind of the big things I have tried again.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you inspire me.
Thank you.
So what else? Anything you want to ask me?
Ask you?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So are you keen to give us a go? Do you want to have a go at checking out my yoga?
I'm thinking about it.
I'll put you in there, friend. I'd love to see you do it.
Okay.
You know your body, so I know that you'll do what you need to do and you'll avoid what you can't do.
Yeah.
But you know, I would so love your feedback. Because I want to improve the course, because accessibility is my key word.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure it's accessible. So your feedback would be invaluable.
All right. It's a deal. You'll send me the information. I'll put it in the show notes and I'll take advantage myself.
Good. Awesome. That'll be great.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see you. Great to talk to you.
You as well. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Melissa Reynolds, warrior, entrepreneur, connector, author, creative. Her key word, accessibility. Meet us where we are. Trust yourself. Honor your body in whatever circumstances you find yourself. Take small steps forward. Adjust as needed. Connect to others taking small steps. Share what works for you. No wonder she inspires me. See the show notes, previous podcasts, and other resources on my website, www.health-hats.com/pod. Please subscribe or contribute. If you like it, share it. Thanks. See you around the block.